Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Saudara pendengar, tidak ada keraguan bahwa kita semua secara tidak sadar bias pada tingkat tertentu dalam hal cara kita menjalani kehidupan dan keputusan yang kita buat. Namun para ahli mengatakan dalam hal pekerjaan, tidak memahami bagaimana bias bekerja berarti beberapa kelompok lebih cenderung kehilangan pekerjaan dan peluang mereka. Berikut ini laporan tentang hal tersebut yang disusun oleh Peggy Giacomolos untuk SBS News.
No one's blaming anybody. That's the way that I look at it. No one's pointing the fingers. It's been, you can't really point the fingers, especially when it comes to unconscious bias. But once you realize or you feel a little bit uncomfortable, then the onus is on you to go out and educate yourself as much, because ignorance is no longer an excuse.
Itulah ulasan Pangeran Harry saat mendiskusikan cara menghadapi biasnya sendiri tentang masalah ras dan kelas dalam percakapan yang dipandu oleh majalah Inggris GQ. Duke of Sussex berbicara tentang ketidaksetaraan rasial, keadilan sosial, dan pendidikan istimewanya sebagai anggota keluarga kerajaan Inggris dan pandangan yang miring yang diberikannya tentang dunia.
You know, having had the upbringing and the education that I had, I had no idea that what it was. I had no idea it existed. And then, you know, sad as it is to say, it took me many, many years to realize it, especially then living a day or a week in my wife's shoes.
Dan dengan begitu banyak diskusi tentang bias dan ketidaksetaraan struktural, apakah pengusaha mengikutinya? Dalam penelitian terbaru Diversity Council Australia yang melibatkan 3.000 pekerja mengungkapkan bahwa mereka yang menggambarkan diri mereka sebagai kelas bawah sering cenderung merasa dirugikan di tempat kerja. Namun di negara seperti Australia, di mana orang-orang yang berpendidikan tinggi dengan pendapatan rendah bergesekan dengan orang kaya, mendefinisikan siapa kelas bawah itu tidaklah begitu jelas. Lisa Anis, CEO Diversity Council Australia, mengatakan survei itu menggunakan metode penentuan nasib sendiri untuk menentukan termasuk kelas mana para responden itu. Para responden membandingkan dirinya dengan orang lain berdasarkan kekayaan, pendapatan, pekerjaan, pendidikan, latar belakang keluarga, dan apakah mereka pernah bersekolah di sekolah tinggi, negeri atau swasta dan jaringannya.
The components that make up class, some of those components can be movable, such as someone's income and profession, for example, but then there are other things that are just intrinsic to who we are, namely maybe the wealth that we were born into or lack of wealth, whether we had intergenerational poverty, what kind of, you know, were we working class as children, or did we go to a public school or a private school? Those things tend to stay with individuals and they recognize themselves within that class.
Anisi mengatakan survei itu mengungkapkan bahwa kelas lebih dari jenis kelamin, ras dan identitas, LGBT, adalah prediksi pengalaman seseorang tentang inklusi dan eksklusi di tempat kerja. 43% pekerja kelas bawah melaporkan secara pribadi mengalami diskriminasi dan atau pelecehan di tempat kerja dalam 12 bulan terakhir dibandingkan dengan 26% pekerja kelas atas. Sementara itu, 27% pekerja kelas bawah mengatakan mereka bekerja dalam tim yang tidak inklusif dibandingkan dengan 10% pekerja kelas menengah dan 5% pekerja kelas atas.
And so what that means is that people from lower classes are more likely to be excluded, to be able to enter that talent pipeline that leads to executive positions. And people from higher classes who have, you know, might have much easier roads. And certainly we know from other work that we've done that you only have to look at the boardrooms and executive teams of Australia's top organisations and recognise that they are stacked with kids from private schools, from sandstone universities and from, you know, middle to upper class families.
Dr. Claire Wright adalah peneliti di Department Management Centre for Workforce Futures di Macquarie University di Sydney. Ia melihat pada jenis kelamin, usia, etnis, kelas dan karakteristik profesional pemimpin perusahaan seperti CEO dan anggota dewan di Australia dalam jangka panjang dan peran yang dimainkan oleh bias yang tidak disadari maupun yang disadari dalam praktek perekrutan eksekutif. Dr. Wright mengatakan elemen yang sama dapat berperan di semua tingkat pekerjaan dan perekrutan.
And essentially the challenge for anyone who might be hiring someone or appointing someone to a particular job is that, say you're after an accountant, there might be like 1,000 some people who might be qualified for that particular job. And that's quite an overwhelming thing for the brain to try and tackle. And so it comes up with shortcuts to essentially figure out who to trust for that particular job. And humans are social, kind of tribal creatures by nature, and it means that we're more likely to trust people who appear to be part of our particular tribe, on the surface at least. And so meaning those who look and think and sound and act like us, we're more likely to trust them.
Dr. Wright mengatakan Badan Dewan Kepemimpinan telah berkembang pesat sejak tahun 1980-an dan 1990-an ketika tempat itu didominasi oleh laki-laki. Namun ia mengatakan meskipun ada sekitar 30% peningkatan perempuan di dewan dan posisi eksekutif, jenis keragaman lainnya telah tertinggal, menciptakan pengaruh ke bawah dalam praktik perekrutan di dalam perusahaan dan organisasi.
There has been a lot of literature, UN mandates, government regulation and policies around gender diversity, but not around other forms of diversity. And so we haven't seen those results. But the stakes are pretty high. I mean, yes, it might seem safe to trust someone who looks like us, but what organisations also need is innovation and needs new ideas and fresh perspectives. And so if you just stick with people who look like you, you're probably going to stifle innovation and not have much sort of flexibility in your organization.
Bagi para penyandang disabilitas, bahkan proses rekrutmen tahap pertama adalah tantangan terbesar. Suzanne Colbert adalah kepala eksekutif dari Jaringan Disabilitas Australia. Ia mengatakan, secara resmi setidaknya ada 100.000 orang penyandang disabilitas di Australia sedang mencari pekerjaan, dan banyak lagi yang telah menyerah. Colbert mengatakan, bagi kaum muda penyandang disabilitas, mereka sangat sulit untuk memulainya.
And that's the real tragedy, that when young people don't make the transition from education to employment, if they kind of fail to launch, then they may be being consigned to a lifetime of daytime television.
Colbert mengatakan Australian Network on Disability menjalankan sejumlah program, termasuk program magang universitas bagi siswa penyandang disabilitas untuk membantu mereka mendapatkan pengalaman kerja berbayar. Ia menambahkan salah satu perhatian utama pemberi pekerjaan adalah biaya dan risiko mempekerjakan penyandang disabilitas. Namun ia mengatakan ada dukungan pemerintah yang memudahkan pemberi pekerjaan mengakomodasi karyawan penyandang disabilitas.
One of Australia's best kept secrets is we have this brilliant program called Job Access. And the federal government will fund workplace adjustments to ensure that people with disability can get the equipment they need, the adjustments they need, to be able to work effectively. And that's brilliant because it means that they, from a cost perspective, can be on a level playing field with every other candidate.
Mary Patetsos, Kepala Dewan Federasi Komunitas Etnik Australia atau FECA, mengatakan, bias adalah fenomena alamiah manusia, membenarkan dalam pikiran kita ikatan dengan mereka yang kita anggap serupa dan menciptakan rasa aman. Masalah itu muncul karena kurangnya kesadaran akan bias ini, yang mengakibatkan kelompok yang sama melakukan perekrutan dan memilih orang yang mirip dengan diri mereka sendiri. Namun di negara multikultural dan beragam seperti Australia, mempekerjakan orang seperti kita sendiri bukan lagi menjadi pilihan. Patetsos mengatakan undang-undang dan kebijakan organisasi cukup menantang pengusaha untuk melihat di luar zona nyaman mereka sendiri.
One thing I find really useful is to think about your own life experience and where, in fact, on reflection, you remember being biased. So if you can remember that moment that you think, oh, I know what I did then and it wasn't the right thing, I think that gives you a really good base to then adjust your own thinking and behaviors.
Mary Patetsos mengatakan masalah bias di bawah kesadaran semakin diperumit dengan meningkatnya tingkat pengangguran karena pandemi COVID-19.
I think in COVID, post-COVID, mid-COVID, wherever we are with COVID, you know, the number of people who are unemployed and the way in which we're going to have to re-engage a workforce is going to make this even more important, because there are many people who are young and unemployed and old and unemployed. They're different cultural backgrounds. So we have an employment and workforce issue on the back of COVID, and how we re-engage that workforce will be critical.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.